Satan is restrained in verses 1 through 3. He's put into this. So Satan, during the millennium, is chained here on earth for 1,000 years. The lid is locked. He's chained up and put there. That's what's going on as the sheep enter the millennium. Only believers go into the millennium. They can't wait to go to the temple. In fact, what happens is, starting in verse 7, look at verse 7. It says, they are living, Revelation 20, verse 7. Actually, it's not verse 7, it's verse 9. The camp of the saints. It says they go up the breadth of the earth and surround the camp of the saints. So Revelation 20, starting in verse 7 through verse 10 says, here's this 8-chapter described millennial temple. Here, around it, are the people that just can't get enough of God, the saints. Basically, people move from their little home that the Lord let them have, and they finally say, Lord, you know, we don't want to just come 3 times a year. Can we camp right here? And gradually, all the believers of the whole world migrate. They just can't get enough of God. These are people that are the sheep that survived the tribulation, that believed on the Lord, that are living in physical bodies on the earth for 1,000 years, and they can't get enough of God. And they stay there around that temple. And that place becomes God's visitor center for the world. And that place is described in 8 chapters of the Bible, Ezekiel 40 to 48. So what does Ezekiel 40 to 48 say? Well, basically this, look at the next slide. It describes the size. It's 25,000 cubits, this temple visitor center, 25,000 cubits. So 25,000 cubits. How much is that? Well, a cubit is 1.5 feet. So that is 7 miles by 7 miles. So this is a 50-square-mile visitor center, well planned by God to be the very central focus of the whole world. And Ezekiel 40 to 48 explain this. The book of Isaiah repeatedly explains it. And right here in Revelation 20, it's explained. The fascinating thing is what it says in verse 9 about the camp of the saints. And I think that that is a moment we should stop and think about. Did you know true believers are drawn toward the things of God? And unbelievers are not drawn toward the things of God? The Lord says, you'll seek me and you'll find me when you seek for me, Deuteronomy 4:29, what? With all your heart. Remember what David said, with my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. That's the heartbeat of a believer. It's represented right here in the last days. For just a moment, look at Ezekiel 40 to 48 with me, because this is really, truly one of the more fascinating and mysterious parts of the Bible. Jeremiah, Lamentations, Ezekiel. Just go to Daniel and back up. Ezekiel begins in chapter 40 saying this. In the 25th year of our captivity, at the beginning of the year, verse 1, in the 10th day of the month, in the 14th year, the city was captured, and the very same day the hand of the Lord was upon me. Verse 2, in visions of God, he took me to the land of Israel. And what's happening is Ezekiel is a priest. He's carried away to Babylon. He's off in the captivity. He has this vision. The Lord takes him by vision from Babylon, and he starts seeing this temple. And look what it says, starting, a man took me, verse 3, a man whose appearance was like the appearance of bronze. He had a line of flax and a measuring rod, verse 4 of chapter 40, and says, son of man, look with your eyes and hear with your ears. Fix your mind on everything. And verse 5, now there was a wall around the outside of the temple, a man's hand. They start measuring this structure. Starting in verse 6, they have an eastern gateway. They start looking at the rooms. In verse 17, there are 30 chambers facing the pavement. So it tells about the structure, the actual structure of this place. Verse 17 has an outer court. Verse 20 has the northern gateway. Verse 24 has a southern gateway. Then he goes to the inner courts of this giant visitor center. And he keeps describing it. And look at chapter 41. And it says, he brought me the sanctuary. He measured the doorpost, the width of all these. But if you just keep reading, he goes to chapter 43 and something happens. Now see, Ezekiel was there when the temple was destroyed by the Babylonians. He was carried away as they were destroying the city. He recorded what happened in actually chapter 11 of Ezekiel, that before the Babylonians destroyed the temple, the Shekinah glory cloud went up from the temple, went to the eastern gate, and went up toward the north. That was portraying God leaving the temple. The Shekinah, the glory cloud, was a picture of the glory of God. Now look what it says in chapter 43 of Ezekiel. Afterward, he brought me to the gate, and the gate faces toward the east, you know, the eastern gate. And behold, the glory of the God of Israel came from the east. His voice was like the sound of many waters, and the earth shone with his glory. Verse 4, and the glory of the Lord came into the temple by way of the eastern gate. So, here's the eastern gate. This is the east. And what Ezekiel sees in Ezekiel 43 is the other end of what happens in Ezekiel 11. In Ezekiel 11, the glory of the Lord left, departed. In Ezekiel 43, the glory cloud returns and comes in to this temple and fills the temple. See, that's Ezekiel seeing what we call the fourth temple. Remember, first temple, Solomon. Second temple, Zerubbabel and Herod. Third temple, tribulation. Fourth temple, 7 miles by 7 miles, God's visitor center. And it's described, you can read that. The priests are described in chapter 44, talking about their lives and their character. And what's interesting is in chapter 47, there's water flowing out from underneath the throne, and it goes to the east into the Dead Sea area. If you know anything about Israel, the Dead Sea is dead, and it brings life. So all that is what's going on in this millennial temple. The people are following God's prophetic calendar. That's these feasts that I pointed up here, and you see on your slide there. Spring, summer, fall, Passover, unleavened bread, first fruits, Pentecost, trumpets, Day of Atonement, tabernacles. Those seven are signposts, each pointing to the cross and death of Christ, his burial, his resurrection, the birth of the church, the rapture launching the tribulation, the second coming when the children of Israel in Jerusalem call on the Lord to save them, as Zechariah talks about, and then the fulfillment of all the promises to Israel in the millennium. These are called the biblical holidays. Jesus' death, you can see on the slide, his burial, his resurrection, historically part of his first coming, the Holy Spirit coming down at Pentecost, that's the church age, and then fulfilled are these fall holidays during the second coming of Christ.